Damaged Goods Podcast.
Myths. Damaged Goods Podcast today is all about some of the biggest urban legends or myths in music. There's not myths. Myths. They're not myths. They're myths. Because there's a Y in there, believe it or not. There's a Y. Sorry if I'm screaming in the mic. Snake Man was surfing today. It was spectacular. Thanks for asking. But a wee bit of water in my ears. It happens. I have surfers here. I wear the earplugs, but it was big today. So, you know, you're going to go under a couple times. You're going to get a little of that filthy salt water in your fucking ears. But not to the point where I can't discuss some of the biggest or most infamous music myths. Myths. I sound like fucking Stevie Janowski and Kenny Powers when they're talking about fixins in season 4, Eastbound and Down. Fixins, you know what I'm talking about, myths. I was rewatching it recently. It bigs me up. Not that I was feeling super down, but I always find it to be a little uplifting. I know that's a weird choice for an uplifting program, but if you're feeling down, it'll reinstill some confidence in yourself. Like Kenny Powers says, yeah, you got to remind yourself you are better than these people. No, don't go by those rules. Don't go by those metrics. So a lot of these myths are going to fall in the realm of rock and roll. I was researching, you know, in the depths of my research all across the board of music, but it just happened to be more in the rock realm, you know. If there's some I miss, hit me on the interweb, social media, fucking email me, whatever. And we can do an addendum. We can add on to these. If there's any cool country music myths or fucking hip-hop myths or EDM myths. Maybe there's some dubstep myths I'm missing. I'm missing some myths. But we're going to kick it off with probably the most well-known, most disgusting, and fake myth that I think a lot of us, Snake Man included, thought was real. Rib removal, dick sucking myth, dude. Let's just kick it off with the big one, dude. Marilyn Manson. Yes, the rock artist. I don't even know what kind of specific genre of rock. Is he nu metal? Is he shock rock? I don't know. I don't particularly listen to his music or that genre. Not knocking it, just not my thing. Didn't hit me at any particular poignant time in my life or any era. But yes, you know the myth. And if you don't know the myth, you must be fucking super young or very much living in a cage somewhere in a foreign land held captive against your will. The myth, the urban legend of Marilyn Manson removing his own ribs from his own rib cage to suck his own dick. Fellatio. He's a tall dude, and I guess you know, if you were to subscribe to this myth, you'd believe that, well, he's so tall, he can't suck his own dick, which you think he could, but perhaps the rib cage was just so big, it was preventing him from bending all the way over. So this guy, a rock, you know, millionaire at the time, presumably, I think this would be a very expensive undertaking, surgically speaking, to do so if you weren't a superstar. And if you weren't and you were going to spend that money, dude, the doctors would look at you absolutely crazy. You're going to, you know, put a second mortgage out on your home, fucking go broke just to suck your own dick. Dude, you'd probably be better off paying hookers, but no, it's you want to conquer this challenge. But nah, he's a rock superstar. So the myth goes that he takes his ribs out so he can fellate his own penis, dude, his Pen 15 Club. Marilyn Manson, he's a wild boy for sure. In the shitty Sons of Anarchy series, although maybe the first couple seasons were good and then it just turned into a bloodbath. Every episode was like a goddamn Michael Bay movie, a million people dying. He played a prison dude, some, you know, inmate that was consistently ass raping some Sons of Anarchy member that had turned rat inside, who was an inmate. Looking weird as hell doing it too. I almost have a feeling, call this a gut instinct, that he like co-wrote that part in or didn't put up any fight when the director or the writer's like, yeah, and you're going to be ass raping this dude to punish him for whatever. Looked weird as fuck. I also know, you know, I used to tour. I was a roadie for years. I've known various heads who have worked for him on tours in different realms. I've probably said realm 3 times today. Fucking forgive me. But specifically, these people were PAs, which is, you know, on Hollywood sets and shit, PA is a production assistant. it's the person who runs and gets coffee. But on tours, it's different. They're almost like an assistant to the artist. They work hard. They're first in, last out with the fucking production manager and the stage manager. And it's a tough gig, especially, you know, depending on who the fucking artist is you're working for. I've known two that worked for him, and that was, you know, in the past, they either quit or were fired, not because they weren't good at the job, but I guess he was a little difficult, allegedly, to deal with. They had some hellish war stories, and I won't share that. I'm not trying to air out the artist or whatever, but yeah. But this is just a myth. He did not remove his ribs from his own rib cage to suck his own dick. And in his own biography, I guess he responded or retorted to the myth. And what he said, it quote, was, "If I had removed my ribs to suck my own dick, I would have been busy sucking my own dick in the Wonder Years instead of chasing Winnie." So right there, he's referring to another urban myth that Marilyn Manson has been implicated in. That if you ever saw the show The Wonder Years, Fred Savage, I don't know, it's like 80s, maybe early 90s, but it took place in the 60s. Fred Savage's best friend is some young kid. Fuck, I don't know the fuck he was, but the myth was that was Marilyn Manson as a kid, the actor. And he was crushing on some chick named Winnie in the show. So I thought that was kind of a clever comeback for him to kind of say fuck you to both those goddamn myths. And, you know, now there's a Wonder Years remake. You might watch it. You might not if you have any taste and you fucking hate goddamn remakes because they just hate paying writers. And keeping it in line with foul sexual rumors of rock stars, Rod Stewart. And I'm not trying to make this like the triple rated X episode. It just happens to be a lot of these fucking urban legend myths about dudes in music have sexual tones to them. And maybe there's something to that. Maybe they were started, as we'll see in this, to kind of bring some shame, right? Throw shade, a little dirt on some names, or just to fucking, everyone's attracted to something that has a sexual storyline, whether it's gossip, a fucking political thing, whatever. So it'll make it stick, it'll give it traction, whereas a myth of them volunteering in a blind person's home might not fucking steamroll the same way. Anyway, Rod Stewart having to get his stomach pumped from sucking too much dick. That's the rumor. That was the myth. I don't know. Myth makes it sound too nice. Maybe myth is like they pulled the Excalibur sword out of the rock or they defeated the giant. Maybe these are more urban legends because a myth sounds like something really noble and good. And I don't think getting your stomach pumped for sucking too much dick is that flattering. Presumably, he had to get his stomach pumped from the semen from the dicks, not that just having sucked dick. So Katie Couric, whose name I could not spell when I was like trying to write this down. Notable journalist? Is that it? News reporter? I don't know what you'd probably call her. What the proper fucking nomenclature is for her. But you know the name. Maybe you don't. Katie Couric. She interviewed him, this Lily White journalist lady, and she asked him about this, which is for Katie Couric. I'm like, oh shit. I kind of wish I saw the interview. Maybe it was written down. I would have loved to have seen that. She asked Roddy Rod about this. And what does Roddy Rod say? What does Mr. Stewart say? He says, "I'm as heterosexual as they come." Sounds pretty gay to me. No, I'm joking. But I mean, what a comeback. It's like, no way, man. Fucking super straight. Love ladies. Love crushing puss. I'm as heterosexual as they come. Not about the fact that, you know, I had to get my stomach pumped or the crazy myth. Just he didn't want to be thought of as gay. I don't know. Also, a fun fact, Rod Stewart was actually the first choice to be the lead singer, to be the frontman for legendary band Led Zeppelin, before Robert Plant, though. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe, I don't know if he passed on them or vice versa. Robert Plant becomes a frontman and they go down in history as being a great band, but Rod Stewart also has an incredible career. Stomach pump, dick suck, rumors or not, or myths or not. But you see, the origin, and I was getting at this before, the origin of this myth is on some foul shit. It's evil. It's foul. Foul, this myth. The origin was that Senor Stewart, Mr. Roddy Rod, he fired some publicist that was working for him. And this guy, this publicist, was bitter. He was so bitter, in fact, that he went, and now you're a publicist, you got to be careful with your publicists because they have connects to all the media outlets, especially back then when, you know, there wasn't social media and the internet where you might be able to voice your side of the story or counteract it. You know, if shit took traction in the media, it was probably a hard thing to get behind. You're going to have to get another publicist to fucking clean up your mess. So this bitter publicist, and wow, he must have been really bitter because this is fucked up. And I've heard this story so much as a kid. Not sure if we ever believed it because whatever, this is before our generation, but you heard it. Anyway, bitter dude, he goes and he feeds a story to the press. He feeds this story to the press that Rod Stewart was sucking dicks of sailors in San Diego. Now, San Diego's got a lot of Army and Navy guys there. If you're in San Diego at a bar, maybe, you might be able to recognize these guys from the bad haircuts and like no sideburns. It just gets cut straight across. I don't know why they do that. They just zip the sideburns off. But don't get mouthy with these dudes if you're not deep, because they are deep. And if they're not deep in that bar, they've got homies around the corner at another bar or at a fucking naval or army base or whatever, and they're frisky for a fight. So yeah, he said that this dude, Rod Stewart, this legendary dude, was sucking sailors' dicks so much so that he had to go get his stomach pumped at a hospital the next day. Fucking wild. Fucking wild. Next myth. And right now, there's a lot of 70s, 80s artists. Well, I guess it's just the second one because fucking Marilyn Manson's a 90s what have you guy, but Phil Collins. And no, this one's not a sexual one. We're going to clean it up. Damaged Goods is not such a lowbrow podcast, all right? Sorry, I'm hydrating, dude. Salt water. It dehydrates me when I surf. The Phil Collins classic, In the Air Tonight. You probably know it. Those epic drums. Do-do-do-do-do-do. That long, mellow intro where he's, you know, talking, singing, and then if you ever see the video on YouTube and he goes into the crazy drums, and you know, he's singing while drumming, which is not an easy thing to do. I always respect the fuck out of that. Shout out to my man Franco Anthony, Blue Gold. Anyway, this classic is not actually about Phil Collins witnessing someone, basically witnessing a murder, someone foregoing a chance to help someone who's in life-threatening danger. All right, you might know this song. Eminem referenced it in his hit song Stan. And I think a lot of us thought this was true. So if you listen to it, it sounds like Phil Collins is talking about that he saw somebody get murdered and didn't do anything, couldn't do anything about it. And that's the story. That's the myth of this rock song is that, and it gives it a moody narrative that a man passed by somebody drowning and didn't stop to save him. That's what Collins watched. So it's like he watched the guy not save the guy drowning or something. But that Phil Collins watched the whole thing, that's fucking nuts. That's kind of nuts. I mean, I get it. Maybe you'd be too scared to do anything. Maybe you're shook. Maybe you're frozen. You don't know what to do. But if you just watched like a murder and you didn't tell the cops, but you decided just to write a song about it, that's a little wild. But, you know, then he kind of dry snitched on himself in the song. But maybe Philly boy Collins was too G to say shit to the cops. Maybe you got to respect that. He kept it funky. He's like, nah, I ain't going to say shit to the cops. But I'm going to go dry snitch on myself in a song, which is not so G. But no, it's all fake. Of course, it didn't happen. Now school's out. School is out for summer. Because the next one's about fucking Alice Cooper. You might not know Alice Cooper. Maybe you do. Depends on your knowledge of music, but that's a big hit of his. School's Out for Summer, Dazed and Confused soundtrack. Fuck school, right? No more pencils, no more fucking books, teachers' dirty looks. School's out. Alice Cooper, myth, bit the head off a chicken on stage. You know, you've heard the Ozzy Osbourne myth, biting the fucking bat's head. Alice Cooper, chicken head biting. Well, Mr. Cooper was... He was, I guess you would say he was one of rock's early bad boys. Bad boy in the sense, not like he was wild as fuck, you know, doing stupid shit, trash in hotel rooms, partying. That was a lot of people. But that he was a little harder, darker in the music realm. God, number four. Let's just, we're going to call this episode Realm. Sorry, suck it. Suck a dick. Fuck it. An evil Ish Mystique. I wouldn't say his music was heavy metal, but he had some of the aesthetics of that in terms of how he dressed and his presentation and his weird freaky makeup, and he rocked snakes on stage. But there was this air to him, and myths like this one added to it, you know? School is out for summer, motherfuckers. 1969. And this is, you know, predating what, you know, like Sabbath and a lot of other metal godfathers. Deep Purple was around. And again, he's not metal in the sense of his music, but he had these vibes to him that would probably coincide with a lot of that shit. 69. He's in Toronto, up the Great White North. The urban legend starts this would follow him forever. And so much so that, you know, the fact that it's just a myth and not true would probably be lost on most motherfucking people. I heard this regurgitated as a kid, and I didn't really fuck with him that much, but he was in Wayne's World and WrestleMania 1, and I'd be like, oh, shit, who's this motherfucker? And my mother would say, oh, Alice Cooper, yeah, he's got some songs you've heard. He bit a head off a chicken. Like, that was just some shit that would be dropped. My mother would say that. On stage, nonetheless, in front of this crowd in Toronto. Well, not really. See? Nobody had phones back then. That's the upside, right? Everyone's paying attention. Not everyone's trying to be in the... They're trying to be in the moment. They're not trying to be in the moment filming like, hey, I'm here. But if you had fucking phones back then, you would have seen that, no, he didn't actually do this. He would have, you know, the truth would have been brought to light. But nah. Somehow, a live chicken gets on a stage. I don't know why. Where the fuck was he performing in Toronto? Is this in a barn? There's a live chicken? Is this the Bronx? And I fuck with live chickens. Shout out to him. Shout out to my man Frankie in Mexico a couple years ago. We had to wrangle about 11 of his little chicks that got loose in the street between my house and the neighbors. And dude, little chickens are not easy to catch. Those are some swift motherfuckers. Year and a half later, only a couple of them were still around. It was a bummer, you know. Other bigger, more ferocious creatures would take them. Anyway, Cooper takes this chicken and he throws it into the crowd. Not the coolest move. I would have been like, oh, here, little chicken, like, give it to a roadie, give it to some fucking somebody by the side of the stage, security, like, get the chicken somewhere safe, get it off here. But wild rock star times, right? 1969, dude. He throws it in the crowd, which is, what is he thinking? Well, he thinks it can fly, right? Fly like an eagle, word to Steve Miller Band. Nah, it didn't fly. You want to know why? Because it's a fucking chicken, dude. Chickens don't fly. The crowd, the wild crowd, they ravaged it. They tore it to pieces. And they say Canadians are all sweet and docile folk who say sorry too much. Ooh, sorry. They was not sorry about destroying this fucking chicken. And listen, you're going to eat a chicken. Maybe you kill it. You take the feathers off. You drain the blood. All that. That's respectable. Apparently, the crowd just fucking shredded this goddamn chicken. And Alice Cooper's no better because he's the one who threw it to them. But nonetheless, the rumor spreads that Cooper himself bit the head off the chicken and threw it in the crowd. The reason why is like pieces of the fucking chicken were found in the crowd, heads off of it. Oh man, he must have bit it and threw it in the crowd. Oh, it's crazy. Did you see it? Everyone's fucking on probably very good acid at the time. And oh man, he threw the fucking chicken after he bit the head off and blah, 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 and so forth and so forth. And the story builds and the myth is formed. But nah, dude, he didn't do that. Now his boy, Frank Zappa, another musician. If you don't fucking know Frank Zappa, you can listen to it. It's weird, and his fans will tell you he's the most genius musician of all time, and that could be up for debate because either you really like it, you dig it, or it's just fucking weird. Whatever. We're not getting in the middle of that. Frank Zappa tells Cooper to not deny the rumor, to not shoot it down at first because it would help build his career and a mystique about him, which it did. And another fun Snake Man fact, WrestleMania 1, like I just mentioned, Alice Cooper was there. This is the big WrestleMania in WWF. Vince McMahon's taking his father's thing to the next level. It's about to be huge. It's in NYC, Madison Square Garden. Jake the Snake Roberts, huge influence on me. And, you know, I actually still own the Jake the Snake trademark. It's different than Jake, quote, the Snake, unquote, Roberts. But whatever. He comes down to the ring with Alice Cooper in his corner because Alice Cooper was known for rocking snakes and on him at shows and what have you. And Jake the fucking Snake has shows. And, yeah, it's WrestleMania 1. Fucking awesome folklore right there, baby. Now this last myth, this last final myth, at least of this installment, like I said, you got some some great music myths, urban legends of any genre, hit me the fuck up. Instagram, Twitter. Can't hit me on Facebook because I'm not there against my own volition. What else? Fucking email the Damaged Goods email that's on there. DamagedGoodsPodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, let me know what I missed or inform me more. But this last one, again, sorry if I'm yelling or whispering, dude. I've got water coming in and out of my fucking, it's always my right ear too. Swimmer's ear, surfer's ear, even with the earplugs. This last one hits a little close to home because it's about one of my favorite songs. Did the CIA write the Scorpions' legendary hit, Winds of Change? Scorpions are a German heavy metal band. You might know, here I am rocking like a hurricane. Yeah, you know, my fucking rendition. Winds of Change is a lot softer and chiller, but it's fucking epic. And it's about, well, I guess you could say predates the fall of the Berlin Wall and the fucking, communist reign in Eastern Europe. But did they write it? Did the CIA write this as some Cold War propaganda? Well, we know the CIA's had their hand in God knows everything. They did rock with fucking Manson pretty hard, and he was writing songs with Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys, or trying to. Did they fucking get these dudes to do it? I love this fucking song. It's a great song. You might have heard Hurricane, you know, on those like metal fucking double CD ads that used to be on TV in the 90s, or if you've seen the hilarious movie Role Models, Paul Rudd and fucking Stifler, whose actual name escapes me, sadly. There's a funny scene where his girlfriend, Paul Rudd's girlfriend's trying to get him excited about his job and singing that karaoke, and he's just not having a good time, and he doesn't care about the Scorpions or a hurricane, even if it rocks him like one. Anyway, I love this song. I drank to this song on repeat at the Berlin Wall in Germany, you know, the fucking East German, West German line. Because that's what this is about. It was epic. At my boy Rocco's wedding. Shout out to Rocco. I think this is your second fucking shout out of the goddamn podcast. He's been on Damaged Goods before. He's a music genius. Him and I, we're both half Polish. His mother and my grandparents both came from the Eastern Bloc, the Soviet ruled era of Poland, and we have an affinity, a special place in our little hearts for this record. And he was making his wedding playlist and asked me to help curate it. Very fucking flattering, and we did. Only took about a gazillion days because we love it so much. It's gonna be in there. Now, it's not the most up-tempo song in the fucking least. It's not a dancey song. If you were having a little wedding party, dance party type thing, you know, that part of the time of the wedding, this would probably throw everybody off unless they're an extremely ill, intelligent fucking music person who loves this record. It would throw the flow off. It's a slow joint. But when it came on, and I knew it was going to come on, he did too. I didn't know when, because at this point now it's 105 degrees in fucking Palm Springs, and we're, you know, at the wedding drinking a lot, and I think at this juncture I'm smoking cigars and or marijuana cigarettes with the staff off to the side. The song comes on. I rush into the dance floor. Everybody is fucking surprised, except for his girl / wife who knew. And my girl knows about this song. Everyone else was perplexed, even perturbed a little bit, just fucking lost. And we jammed to it mid-dance playlist at the reception while everyone was just taken aback because it came on in the middle. But you know what? It's fucking fire. So if you get some fucking taste, get cultured, motherfuckers. Anyway, back to the myth if the CIA wrote this legendary Scorpions hit. This Irish author and journalist, Patrick Radden Keefe, who's actually a fucking incredible writer, great author. He has a book called Say Nothing, which is fucking incredible. It's about the Troubles, you know, basically the 32, 33-year war from the late 60s to the mid to late 90s in Northern Ireland. It's an incredible book. It has nothing to do with this myth, but I just highly recommend it. It's written, it doesn't even feel like it's a true story. It plays out like a novel, but it's all real, and it's incredibly well written. Anyway, I did not know that he was such a sharp cat that he was aware of this song and this myth. Apparently, he did a whole fucking podcast series that investigates this myth. I haven't listened to it. I'm eager to do so. Turns out, Scorpions lead singer Klaus Meine, I'm going to fucking butcher the name. My bad. I don't know how to pronounce German. M-E-I-N-E. Klaus Meine, he denied this weird myth that it was CIA Cold War propaganda to help stop communism, right? Because these guys were popular. They must have been West German, because East Germany was the Soviet bloc. So there was a lot of countries that were part of the USSR, you know, like Ukraine and Belarus and a lot. And then there was certain places that were called satellite states that were under communist rule, but they weren't part of the USSR, like Albania or Poland, you know, for that matter, or East Germany. Anyway, he denied the myth that it was Cold War propaganda by the CIA to help stop communism, right? Popular rock stars. Let's make a really good song. It's a really good song. Even if you don't speak English, because they sing in English, not German. You don't know what the fuck they're saying. It's just that good. You would have loved it. You would have fell in love with it. But he denies that it was a way to help stop communism, because this song was a monster hit, not just in Europe, although very big in Europe and Eastern Europe, because it hit home, but all over the world. Now, some people might have had no clue what it was about, although even in America at the time, you know, this is Cold War time, Russia's the big bad guy, watch some 80s motherfucking movies, dude, you know? People were aware of this shit, you know? But he says that he wrote the song after observing a growing differences in energy in Russia from different tours in 88 and 89, just seeing the way, I guess, amongst the people changing. And you could see that, I'm sure, politically things were changing. Things could not sustain the way they were. Western influence, right? Rock and roll, fucking Levi jeans. Usually that's the way in. That's the Trojan horse that works. It was probably having an effect. So he noticed that difference then, and then he wrote the record. And then a couple of years later, the Iron Curtain would fall in 91. The Berlin Wall would go down. And that was that. And he says, nah, fuck you. The CIA didn't write this hit. We wrote this motherfucking hit. Do you think the CIA is very, they got long tentacles. They have a lot of power. They've done a lot of dirt. But do you think they have songwriters of this caliber? Do you think there's anybody, if you are that talented of a musician, do you think you would forego your chances at stardom, either being an actual like musician in a band or just being a huge songwriter, making mad money, getting plaques to work for the CIA? You'd have to really have drank in their Kool-Aid. They really would have had a gotcha. Now, a guy like Manson thought he was great, wasn't getting that fucking love from the Beach Boys or the Monkees or whoever. Maybe he was like, you know what? Fuck yeah. CIA, I'll rock with y'all. I'll do crazy shit. I'll get arrested a gazillion times and let out over and over, as long as I agree to, you know, take a whole bunch of fucking MK Ultra acid. Who the fuck knows? But yeah, they did not dilute the greatness of Winds of Change by Scorpions. Go listen to that fucking record. Enjoy that shit. We'll do some more of these. Hit me with some more myths, some urban legends. We'll do an addendum, a part two. I know you want to hear the music merch part two. Do you really, though? Was it that interesting? Maybe it wasn't. In retrospect, that might not be the most interesting. I could have probably trimmed that one down. But this is interesting. Everybody wants to hear about Marilyn Manson trying to suck his own dick, removing his ribs, because it's fucking batshit crazy. Hopefully nobody ever mimicked him. Some psycho fan that loves him was like, I'm going to do it too, and blew all their money and their inheritance, and they live in a fucking trailer now because they took out 3 mortgages just to take their ribs out to suck their own dick. Get a fucking hooker. Probably way cheaper. Yeah, Damaged Goods Podcast. Like it. Review it. Get the books, The Waiting Room, Quicksand, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local bookstores, fucking audiobook, narrated by who? Yeah, me, Jake the fucking Snake, Jake Frazek. There's Kindles up there too. Follow me on the interwebs on Instagram. It's at Jake Frazek, JakeFrazek, at Damaged Goods Podcast on Twitter or X, whichever way you want to do it. It's at JTHES. DamagedGoodsPodcast.com. Thank you very much. CIA did not write those hits. Don't remove your own ribs. Please keep your fucking rib cage.